Today's scripture reading is Philippians 3:7-14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from the God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the death. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peyton. So this month, during this season of Thanksgiving, we're going to be looking at gratitude from a little bit of a different angle, because we all know how to give thanks for all the good stuff in our lives, yes? But what about the difficult things? The challenges, the struggles, the hardships, even the suffering. Are we so quick to give thanks for those things? So this series is going to be called Thankful for What? And we're going to explore the surprising side of gratitude from the writings of Paul and James. We're going to discover how God can use even the hardest things to shape our character, to strengthen our faith, and to draw us closer to him. Because sometimes the things we least want to thank God for are the very things that make us most like Jesus. So today we are looking at a passage from Paul, who is writing to the church in Philippi, which was actually a Roman colony, a Rome away from Rome. See what I did there? In the same way, Paul is bringing to our attention the fact that the church is a colony of heaven on earth. Heaven is our home, and our church is our home away from home, so to speak. And so our minds should be set on that. Our minds should be set heaven bound. Our time here is to be spent pressing toward that. And yet so often, our minds are anywhere but there. Instead, we're preoccupied with a myriad of things. Our jobs, our homes, our hobbies, our finances, our possessions. And again, I've said this a million times, they're all good things. They're not bad things. God is not saying that we just toss all that aside. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that God gave us richly all things to enjoy. But we have taken those things to the extent that they have become God things. They have become objects of worship. And Jesus warned us that our lives do not consist in abundance of the things we possess. And also, these things that occupy our time and our space are not just tangible things, they're intangible too. Fame, security, achievement. For Paul, it was things like works righteousness, self-piety, religion. Paul had quite a reputation as a scholar. He prided in himself in being a Pharisee, blameless under the law and zealous for God. He held his Jewish heritage in high esteem. He no doubt had many friends who admired all of his accomplishments. Paul bought into the lie that his life was about that. Paul was so engrossed in his religion that he failed to see what the law was pointing him to. He persecuted the early Christians, arrested them, beat them, even facilitated the stoning to death of some, because he failed to see that the law was pointing him to the one these Christians exalted. His religion said, salvation depends on you. But Jesus literally knocked him off his horse and said, no, it depends on me. So you see, it wasn't just the bad things that kept Paul away from Jesus. It was good things, too. Good things that were made into God things. He had to lose his religion to find salvation. Now I'm going to have that REM song stuck in my head all day. But after meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, all those accomplishments, they didn't just seem less important. They actually were offensive in comparison. He says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then comes the shocking phrase. I consider them garbage. Paul's garbage moment comes when Jesus confronted him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that encounter stripped away everything Paul thought he was doing right. His status, his followers, his authority. It might have brought glory to him personally, but it did not bring glory to God. They were gains to him, which was selfish. And all the accomplishments, all the accolades, all that he had to offer Christ was refuse compared to what Christ was offering him. So why give thanks for the garbage? Because it gives us perspective. It helps us put the things we deemed essential in their proper places. It helps us see what we once valued as the source of life is not so much. We don't often realize how tightly we hold on to things that cannot save us, whether it's our status, our possessions, even our own sense of control. But then life dumps this garbage load at our feet. Failed plans, broken dreams, sour relationships, disappointments, sins we can no longer hide from. And suddenly we're forced to see where true hope lies. And when Paul met Christ, he realized how futile his good works and claims of righteousness were. And then a surprisingly wonderful transaction took place. Addition by subtraction. Paul lost some things, but in doing so, he gained so much more. He may have lost the prestige of being called an expert in the law, but he gained the knowledge of Christ, which was so much more than the head knowledge Paul boasted of attaining. Because to know Christ, really know him, means to have a personal relationship with him through faith. He may have lost his sense of self-piety, but he gained the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness was a lofty goal in Paul's life as a Pharisee. But it was a self-righteousness, a salvation based on works system that he could never really attain, or anyone else for that matter. But when Paul gave his life to Christ, he lost his own self-righteousness. Paul's spiritual account wasn't just corrupt, it was bankrupt. But when he encountered the risen Christ and put his trust in him, he realized that his sins were put on Christ's account on the cross, and his account was credited with Christ's righteousness. He abandoned his own righteousness so that he might receive the righteousness of Christ. He may have lost his friends in high places, but then he gained the fellowship of Christ. Considering his gains as lost for the sake of Christ did not mean the end for Paul. It was only the beginning. It transformed his life. God took the garbage in his life and transformed it into something greater for God's glory. When he was living under the law, all Paul had was a set of rules. But now he has a friend, a constant companion. And unlike before, his fellowship with Christ became so important that he considered it a privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ. The persecutor has now become the persecuted. And we're no exception. When we grow in our knowledge and fellowship with Christ, we come under the attack of the enemy. But by dying to self, we are able to live for Christ. And the result is an eternal spiritual resurrection. Paul doesn't stop at the garbage pile. He keeps moving forward. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's not stuck mourning what has been lost. He's grateful for what his losses have revealed. He's pressing on toward Christ himself, the goal, the treasure, the prize. And that's what Thanksgiving truly looks like. When life is messy, when it doesn't make sense, it's not pretending that the garbage smells good. It's realizing that God can take that and transform it into something greater. Sometimes the garbage is what God uses to push us forward, to force us to move, to clean out, to start fresh. When a relationship fails, we learn true dependence on the one who can love us like no one else can. When a job ends, we discover a calling. When pride is crushed, humility grows. And when we lose everything else, we find that Christ is enough. How many of you know Tim Tebow? Heisman-winning quarterback, right? Had fame, success, a promising NFL career. But when he began to lose relevance in the football world, he didn't go chasing after that status. Instead, he pivoted toward ministry. He spoke at prisons. He hosted proms for people with special needs and shared Christ around the world. And he once said, I don't want to be remembered for football. I want to be remembered for the difference I made in someone's life because of Christ. What the world saw as a wasted career, God used as a spiritual gain. Tebow's garbage moment became the soil where lasting purpose grew. How many of you know Johnny Erickson Tata? No? Nobody here knows Johnny Erickson Tata? Okay. Go look her up. Amazing story. At age 17, a vibrant athlete who had just given her life to Christ, on her way to college, had a bright future ahead of her, became paralyzed in a dive that went horribly wrong. And at first, she angrily begged God for healing. And when her friends came to visit, they quoted Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, but prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And she was indignant when she heard this. She said to God, "If your plan is not to harm me, then what do you call quadriplegia?" She said, "If this was your plan to bring me closer to you, then you'll never be trusted with my prayers ever again. What am I supposed to do now without my legs, without use of my hands?" But once she took the time to study the text and the context around it, she realized God was speaking to his children as they were being dragged away into captivity, where they would spend decades in harsh suffering. And she realized that God's plan for a hopeful future isn't just about the physical. It isn't about the tangible. It isn't about just the things we see in front of us. It is about something deeply spiritual and eternal. And in time, she said, "I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Christ than to be on my feet without him." Her suffering became her platform to share hope with millions of people living with disabilities around the world. What looked like a cruel loss became a deep intimacy with Christ, and her garbage was redeemed into grace that overflows. So we all have piles of religious garbage that we think looks impressive, but doesn't necessarily bring us closer to Jesus. And so I challenge you this week to ask yourself, what have I been measuring my worth by? What do I cling to for identity and validation? What would feel devastating to lose because it's where I put my trust instead of Christ? And maybe, just maybe, that is the place where God wants to reveal his glory. Write those things down this week and then pray, "Lord, I count this as loss so that I may gain more of you." And that act of surrender becomes your worship. Paul shows us that true gratitude doesn't start with what's comfortable. It starts with what's been crucified. The cross itself looked like garbage to the world, a place of shame, a place of suffering, a place of death. But that's where resurrection began. So if God can turn a garbage dump outside Jerusalem into a doorway to salvation, he can redeem the mess in your life too. And when we look back someday, we might actually say, "Thank you, God, for the garbage. Because without it, I never would have found you." Be thankful even for the garbage, because through it, we discover the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Not just for the good and easy gifts, but for the hard ones too. We thank you for the things that have failed us, the garbage, because they remind us that you never will. We thank you for the losses that clear space for your grace to grow. Help us to count everything else as loss compared to knowing you. Teach us to press on through the mess, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the prize, the treasure, and the redeemer of all our trash. In his name we pray. comment.